Welcome back. This is episode 22 of The Multipod as we continue our exploration of the world of multipotentiality here as part of the Putty Tribe. And we are heading into another big weekend for us Putty Tribers and Multipods in that it's our next Putty-thon of the year. If you remember back a few months ago, I think it was March, when we had the last Putty-thon, it's kind of the big event that happens here for our community a couple times a year, basically every 6 months or so. And in that case, we really did a bit of a live stream and followed along as the event unfolded. And the whole point of the Putty-thon is where people can get together over the course of a 24-hour period and focus on projects, things that they want to work on, things they've been meaning to complete or at least make some progress on. And you're doing so in a really, of course, positive and supportive space surrounded by other people who are also working on their own projects. And you kind of pop in and out on Zoom and other platforms, of course, on our forum, and people check in with each other and how they're doing. And you have this like 24-hour period to get to put everything else in your life aside, at least as much as you can, and focus on the thing you want to do. And that's what we call the Putty-thon. And it's always popular. We get lots and lots of people who are participating. I've done it myself. And that's what it's all about. Now, in this case, in this episode here, the timing with our podcast and the schedule works out in that this episode is released the Friday morning and the Putty-thon starts just a few hours later as you get into the weekend. So we're kind of setting it up this time as we go into the second Putty-thon of 2018. So we're also going to be checking in later with Erica Backberg, who, if you remember from that last episode, is the coordinator of the Putty-thon as part of the Putty Tribe. She's the one that kind of puts it all together and does the promotion bit of the organization and helps people get all set up. So we had a great time talking with her last Putty-thon, and we'll catch up with her again this time as we get into this one here in October 2018. So it's all very exciting. Now, I also have the pleasure of being joined right now with Michael, who is Putty Tribe member, and he is coming to us live all the way from China. So welcome, Michael, to the Multipod.
Hello.
But looking at you and listening to your accent, you're not Chinese, I'm guessing.
No, I am from the UK. Was born in Cambridge, but studied and worked in Edinburgh and Glasgow. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's my UK accent.
And what brought you to China? How long have you been there?
I have been here 10 weeks thus far. And I am teaching English.
Is this something you've done before? Have you taught English before?
No, I've not taught English before. I have been involved in sort of more science teaching, helping out with practical work and one-to-one biology teaching, but English teaching is new for me.
And so whereabouts are you within China?
I'm in Guizhou province, about an hour outside of the provincial capital, Guiyang, which most people don't know where that is. So we start in Hong Kong, go two provinces north and one province west, and that's where I am.
Okay. So you're quite far into the interior, basically.
Yeah. So very mountainous here.
Oh, yeah. How did you end up there? Had you zeroed in on that region, or was that just where you ended up getting a posting?
It's just where I ended up getting a posting. I'm doing the English Language Assistant Program with the British Council. Hmm. And so they kind of, you have a bit of say in where you'd like to be placed, but I was pretty flexible. So this is just where I ended up.
Oh, yeah. And how long will you be there?
I'll be here for one academic year, so coming back in June, July next year.
Okay. So 10 weeks, it's still pretty fresh. How's it gone so far?
It's going pretty well. Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of settling in. You know, I mean, you really appreciate all these you know, people who try to get, you know, visas and so on and so forth to wherever it is you want to end up. You know, that's been a pretty long and complicated process. I think I've been doing this since since about March,
Okay.
trying to do, get the visa and get out here. And then even once you're here, there's been all of these, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. And the English department I'm in is literally just being set up as I'm here. So I'm one of the first English teachers that this particular school's ever had.
What
So that's
level are you
exciting.
teaching?
I'm teaching their further education students, so they're in a technical college. But their English level is actually quite low, so I'm teaching pretty much beginners.
Okay. But it's kind of like young adults, university student.
18, 19, 20, that sort of thing.
What's the city like or the region? Is it, I mean, you say it's mountainous. Is it also really urbanized and, your typical busy Chinese city kind of thing?
Well, it's urbanizing.
Yeah.
It's there's a lot of it's like a lot of parts of China, I think, which are just kind of like people are coming in from all over the place. So there's a lot of there's a lot of new high rises coming up. I think this school has only just moved out to where we are quite recently. The library here is still under construction.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's see. Now, when did you join the Putty Tribe? It says here in July of 2017, so just over a
Yeah,
year,
just
right?
over a year, but I kind of dropped out for a bit once I sort of started to get the sense that this China move was probably coming up.
Right.
So this is me kind of just kind of getting back into the, when I kind of realized, oh, I'm paying for this, Putty Tribe thing. Let's make sure that I can actually get access to it in China, because if I can't get through the Great Firewall, then it's probably easier just to say, sorry guys, I'm gonna have to
Oh
drop out
yeah.
for a year. But no, I've been around for a year, so it's been good.
Well, I read something you wrote. I guess your post when you came back, involved in the community there around the end of August, and that's a joke, eh, about the Great Firewall. I mean, I haven't been to China yet myself. Like, what is it like? You go to most websites and they just don't load?
Well, it's just certain websites. It's kind of hit and miss, really. So you can certainly put the address in and everything if you know it, but then it'll just sort of say, yeah, sorry, we can't load this website, check the firewalls and all of that. You just kind of go, okay, obviously this has been blocked. It's I mean there's obviously there's ways that you can get around it. I mean, a lot of people have virtual private networks.
Yeah, I was wondering that.
So you can set your location as being, in the UK or in Japan or somewhere, and then as far as the system is concerned, you're in wherever it is you say you are, and then you can get access to all of these
Okay. Did you have to do, you probably didn't have to do that though with the
things.
Putty Tribe, I would think,
No,
I would
no, no. I've
hope.
been able to. I've been able to get into the Putty Tribe absolutely fine.
That's good.
So I mean that's that's been fine. I mean, I've actually chosen not to get a VPN because I've been a little bit addicted to internet. So one of it's one of the sort of the aims for me being out here is let's try and get off Facebook and YouTube and BBC iPlayer and all of those things, and actually do other things, more productive things.
Plus, do you want to pick up some Chinese while you're there? Some Mandarin, I would think.
Yes, although I've been here 10 weeks and my Mandarin has not vastly improved, beyond a few basic phrases, ni hao, xi xi, so on and so forth.
Well, what do you do for that when you're an expat coming in as a teacher, teaching English usually? Like, are there courses for you for teachers to learn Mandarin or some kind of program?
There's got to be stuff out there. I mean, a lot of people are sort of like, oh, you're an English teacher. Teach me English and I'll teach you Chinese. There's a lot of offers from locals to say, you do language exchange stuff. So, that's always there as an option. And yeah, I mean, if you're sort of planning to come out, it's always quite good to like, I think there are courses that you can do. Certainly I came from Glasgow, and I know Glasgow University had some Mandarin courses that I could have done, but the timings just didn't quite work out. So I mean, there's the stuff you can do. on your, you know, on your way in. And of course, there's everyone that's just really willing to say hi, talk to me, and I'll talk to you, kind of thing.
Well, I mean, getting back to the big picture, like it was the whole teaching English or perhaps living in China, perhaps traveling, is that part of your many multi-potential interests that you've always had? Or is it something new? Either way, it could be, of course, part of your identity.
No, I think the travel is definitely part of my identity. So I've always never quite had the money to go do it. So China has definitely been on the bu bucket list for a very, very long time. So now I'm here, yay! So that's always been that's always been there. So the specifically teaching English is new, but it's more of, it's a combination of trying to decide how much I want to stick with teaching as a whole, because that is one of my interests. That's just been a vein in my life through quite a long time. And of course, it's you get to come to China and get paid, which is always a big draw. Is that you're, hey, I can come and I can actually do this and I can be here for a year. So
How did you find the Putty tribe in the first place when a year and a half ago there?
oh yeah, well, I think like most people, it was seeing Emily's TED Talk at first, and then I sort of signed up to the waiting list, got the emails, got the emails, got the emails, got the emails. And the time that I joined, it was being told, oh, by the way, this is the last time we're going to offer it at this price, because they had up the prices. So that was the moment of, okay, jump, or else I'm never going to say yes to this. So that's how
I think I remember that. I joined like maybe 2 months
kind of
before you. Yeah, and I remember that it started to change not long after. But yeah, so I mean, I guess what was your experience when you first joined? Or did you kind of jump in and get involved, meet lots of people right off the bat?
I got to do quite a few things. I think it ends up Puttython this time last year. I got quite involved with Joel's sort of community building. So I think the community building workshop that's up on the tribe, I'm one of the participants in that. I did intro huddles. I mean, I got quite involved with things. Can't quite remember everything off the top of my head that I did. But yeah, I was quite involved.
You are planning to participate in the Puttython this time around. Do you have any specific projects in mind?
Well, I do really need to write my latest blog post of my adventures in China. So that's definitely one project that I have in mind.
Well, tell us a bit about that. First of all, where do we find the blog?
Oh, it's on WordPress. If you look at Michael Mab 6, I think that takes you there. I think I've got a link to it in the bit that you referenced earlier. That drastic measures and proof of life, I think, is the post that I've. By the way, I'm in China, and here's my blog. And then, of course, I've mentioned it on the Puttython. Had a link to it on the Puttython there as well.
Sure. Yeah, we'll put the link in the show notes. I'll mention it here. So if you search for Michael, MICHAELMAB6, number six, all one word, .wordpress.com, you can find it. And I'm looking at it right now. I can see some interesting pictures, a nice sunset, an interesting statue, and something about millipedes and mountains.
Yes. I was saying a millipede on the Great Wall, makes you realize the insignificance of yourself.
Well, what's your goal for the blog? Is it just to document your time there?
Yes, it's just to document my time. Find interesting things. Let various people back home know that I'm still alive and that I'm enjoying it, and everything is fine. Those kinds of things.
Cool. And like, do you have plans? I mean, the kind of weekly updates or keep to a schedule, anything like that?
Well, it's the sort of the aim to do a weekly schedule thing, but I mean, sometimes it's sort of weeks go by and you kind of go, well, nothing interesting has happened, so There's nothing really to say right now, but yes, there's those things that need to go up.
Yeah, any other projects then you want to work on as well?
Well, I think I'll probably be spending a bit of time reading Heretic's Guide to Homecoming by our very own Patty Triber.
Right.
Got my copy all sitting and ready to go, so that'll be a reading job. And I'll probably try and work on my constructed language as well. I've got that to
What's
sit
that
and do.
about?
So I like building worlds, and so one of the worlds that I've created a language to go with it.
Okay.
But still needs a lot of work. It's mostly just nouns at the moment, maybe a few verbs and a couple of adjectives. So that needs a bit of work to really build that up into a more, flesh that out into a fuller language.
Wow. Well,
So,
so this is, wait, this is a component to a world you've created?
yes.
Is that something that's public or is it
It's not public at the moment, no.
do you
But yes,
plan to?
I might make it public at some point. I mean, certainly there's an idea. I mean, we've got NaNoWriMo coming up as well,
Right.
so there's certainly the possibility of trying to write a book set in the world. So that would certainly be a project for next month. But I might sort of try and jot down a few ideas over the weekend here as an extra project.
So, looking at your profile, I mean, a variety of interests. It says your specialist self is a geneticist, but is that something you've moved away from?
At the moment, yes. I mean, obviously, I'm teaching English. I'm not doing much in the sciences, but I mean,
Sure.
it's because I've kind of gone through. I've got my master's in medical genetics. I'm still very interested in science. When we've just done some class tests with the kids last week, and I'm suddenly marking them and get kind of going, "Ooh, data." So that kind of like side of me is still there. It's still obviously like that I have. But yes, I've kind of moved away from the actual like doing of science, to the more teaching side. And I would be very interested in going and doing public engagement and stuff. But I'm very much sort of like a knowledge person. So there's so many things that I would like to go away and study. And it still includes a lot of sciencey stuff, botany, psychology, pharmacology, those sorts of things.
So, would you say is that largely how you identify as a multipotentialite in terms of the varied academic interests?
Yes, that's the big side of my
Now,
multi-potentiality. Yeah.
is that something you've always known, or has it kind of evolved over the years, maybe as you pursued your education?
Well, it's something that I've known since one of my teachers called me a Renaissance man when I was about 11. And so that has kind of stuck with me. I think once I watched Emily's TED Talk, it was that thing of this teacher calling me a Renaissance man that kind of went, "Oh yeah, that's me." So yeah, that was definitely how I connected to the tribe.
Has it presented, particular challenges or maybe frustrations as you've pursued all these paths, trying to choose something or pressure otherwise?
Yes, so my undergraduate degree was in biological sciences, and it was the most sort of like flexible course that I could find in terms of like the number of things that you could kind of mix and match different modules. But of course, the problem was that there were more modules that I wanted to take than there were actual slots that I could fill. So, it was one of those moments where I really wanted to be Hermione Granger with her time turner and being able to go back and, take all of the modules and suddenly sort of like trying to like settle and kind of go like, "Oh, this is the, career path post university that I want to take," has certainly been a challenge.
So what, I guess maybe psychologically, what point are you at now? Are you kind of content to keep following your path? Do you feel, time's ticking maybe, and it's you've got to choose or maybe specialize more soon or commit to something maybe?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, at the moment, I'm enjoying teaching. I'm enjoying the teaching aspect of things. So, I mean, that's certainly something. I certainly feel much more like a sort of sequential multi-potentialite rather than a do everything at once kind of multi-potentialite.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Just it's just sort of noticing my own sort of. Things kind of going well, this, things come a lot more in cycles for me. So I'm kind of glad that this is just a year that this teaching that I'm doing is just 1 year. So I can do this, and then I know at the end of the year I can go do something else. Like if I gotta go, oh my God, actually I'm really not enjoying the teaching anymore. I need to do something else.
Sure.
Like I can do that. There's the freedom to do that. So that's very attractive
Do you
aspect of
find you're
things.
able to kind of finish projects and then move on to the next thing? As you say, it sounds you're like you're maybe better at that than juggling a whole number of things at the same time.
Yes, though occasionally I've sort of found like I get three quarters of the way through a project and then kind of it's going. I'm starting to flag now. Certainly, my master's thesis was. One of those moments where I got so far through and then kind of went.
Yeah. So you're just kind of leaving it open for the future after this year, where you go from here?
Yes. I mean, at the moment, it's sort of the idea would be that I would do this and then go and teach a train. That would probably be the most obvious next step. But if I kind of get to the end of the year and go, no, then okay, no, but then I need to find something, some other new direction to go in.
Do you have something to go back to, or like before you were here in China, did you have a job? Did you have to quit, or did that just end as well?
Well, I've been doing laboratory demonstrating and tutoring at the University of Edinburgh, so that's kind of. I still technically have a contract with them, so I could go back to that, but I would need to sort of let them know that I'm still interested and available to do that.
Well, I mean, it's an exciting time then, I guess, if when you have all these options, the world's your oyster, and you could go even teach in a different country or another part of China, of course, or who knows what. I'm sure a lot of us are a little envious of being in that position. I've been there before, when it's great to have those options for sure, and the freedom, right, to choose. So, and I guess the lesson is to make the most of it while you can. There's certainly, of course, there's value as well in settling down, making commitments and more long-term things for sure. It's all about the time and place in your life, I think. But and then of course if family and relationships enter into it as well. But if you have the chance to move and try different things, it's the time to do it for sure.
I think it's good because it's of course I'm still at that age and stage of life where I can sort of drop everything and leave
Yeah.
sort of thing.
Now, of course, you've only been in China there for a couple of months or so, but I don't know. Would you say you've been able to observe in any way that it's a society that has any interest or recognition in multipotentiality? Not that they would probably call it that or even know what it is, but that there's something in the society, or is it maybe the opposite, that people are again very regimented and follow a certain path? And perhaps it's the economy of the society that forces that. But I mean, it's early as well. I'd be interested to hear your take over the next few months.
Oh gosh, it's not something that I've ever really thought about. I mean, certainly my understanding in terms of the education system is very much like you're told, right, this is what you're doing. I mean, there's certainly some kids, I think, in my class that are there because they've been told to be there rather than they're there because they're actually interested in the subjects that they're learning. So there's certainly not the kind of the sense of personal choice
Do you
that we
think
might have.
Well, yeah, for sure. And it's partly what we would associate, I guess, with China. Hopefully it's opening up and changing a bit, but we can't really call it a democracy by any means. So I would think that is reflected in the education system and, people's choice with their careers. So, yeah, and that would impact, I guess people's performance in the class, and they're there because they have to be there. So,
They're still, of course, they're still very well disciplined and well, they work hard.
all right. So, with the Puttython kicking off here in a few hours, at least from when this is released, then are you going to be really kind of full time into it, or are you just going to pop in and out?
I think I'll try and be full time, but of course, with the time difference, it's a little bit hard. There's these
Yeah, that's
set,
true.
you know, the set meeting. So I already know I'm going to miss the kickoff meeting, but I'll try and pop in and then sort of sit in the Zoom room as much as possible, and catch as many people who drop in, pop in and out as possible, and connect with them that way.
Do you like to work with essentially be co-working, but kind of leaving it on in the background and doing your thing, or would you rather
Yeah,
be by yourself?
leave it on in the background, and if somebody says, "Oh, I need other people to support me with X," then yeah, I can be around with that.
That's cool.
Leave it on in the background because it's just the time difference is such that's going to be hard to connect
Yeah,
with
that's
people
true. Now you're
otherwise.
12 hours ahead of me. I'm in Eastern Canada, and that's 7 hours ahead of the UK, right? So,
Yeah. So yeah, I know I'm 7 hours ahead of the UK. So.
Yeah, and it's funny. I was looking it up because we forget that all of China is one time zone, even though it's a huge country, and yet they somehow managed to make it work. I was like, well, I know he's in China, but I don't know exactly what time zone, but it's all the same time zone. It's kind of funny that way. Yeah. Well, it'll be great to see you there, as part of the group, and what should be a fun and exciting weekend. We'll see how many people participate. I think there was a couple dozen or so popping in and out last time. And not everybody, again, they, people doing their own way. Not everybody goes to the Zoom meetings at all or all the time. Some people just on the forum, and maybe some messaging and stuff like that, or maybe just a little check in a report at the end when they're all done. But overall, you get usually a dozen or a couple dozen people participating, and yeah, it makes for a fun weekend and something to look forward to when we all, can get some stuff done and make some progress and feel satisfied at the end of it. So it's a fun thing to do. Now, one last thing. Do you have, aside from the Puttython, is there anything else that you want to participate in with within the Putty tribe, like particular groups or other kind of activities, maybe?
Well, and I mentioned the NaNoWriMo is coming up next month, so that's something
Yeah.
I'd like to get into. I'm part of quite a few groups, the poetry group, the Writers of the Words group, stuff like that. So of course it would be good to continue to be involved with those, or get a bit more involved with those sorts of things. So
Yeah.
the NaNoWriMo will be a good start.
Yeah, for sure. That is always exciting too. Great. Well, it's been a pleasure getting to know you and hearing some about your adventures. We'll keep an eye on your progress there in China. And if you come on the show again, you can teach us a few more words of Mandarin. Sure.
Cool.
And best of
Cool.
luck this weekend. We hope you have fun.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, thanks very much to Michael. And again, you can check the show notes to go and check out his blog. I really do recommend it. There's some neat pictures there and a great start to his story here of his journey through China.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Chop, chop.
That's right. You got to move
You are.
fast.
You're really blending with your pillows, by the way, right
Oh,
now. Your hat and your pillows.
yeah.
Well done, friend. Well done.
It is comfy. All right. So I'm joined by Erica Backberg. Welcome back to the Multipod, Erica.
Thanks, Ted. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's nice to see you again. We were. I was just reflecting that it was March was the last Puttython,
Yeah, that's
wasn't it?
correct.
And that was a good time, of course, had by all. It was a different approach because that was an episode we recorded in bits and pieces during the course of the weekend. And this That's time true. Around, the timing works out in that you were setting this up and the episode will come out just before the Puttython starts, so we can kind of maybe get people hyped up and excited about what's coming for the weekend, if anything's changed or anything in particular to look forward to. But it's nice to catch up with you, of course, first of all. What have you been up to the last 6 months or so?
The last 6 months or so. Well, what's been going on in the Putty Tribe is we've had a lot of member-led events, which has been really exciting. Kind of since it started in January, and then it's like the ball has been rolling and there's been more and more and more member-led events. And so that's really what I've been working on in the Putty Tribe, is helping to support members and their ideas for anything. Some of the events that we've had are, let me think about this, we've had blog-a-ramas, which are... Yeah, that's in one of the groups, and helping Heather, one of our members, helping folks just to get their blog started and, you know, create content. Blogs are this ever-evolving story. Mm-hmm. So I can only imagine putting up content regularly is difficult. And then if you're an amazing writer, it's a creation. It's an art piece. So that's kind of exciting. And I've just been doing those pretty regularly. Mm-hmm. We have some design thinking types of activities, events. Some of them are smaller.
What does that involve?
So I know that people have been looking at books. I don't know what the book is exactly, but there's a design thinking specialist. I think it's one of the specialists from Stanford. And it's a Design Your Life book. And then folks are using that curriculum to set up a multi-pod life through design thinking.
Oh, yeah. So support. That's like an ongoing thing. It's not a specific event.
Well, I think right now they have a curriculum and they're looking at putting together a plan over a certain amount of time. So yeah, it's a little bit less like a Puttython where it takes place. And the blog-a-rama is also a couple days. It's around a specific amount of time. And the design thinking is a broader type of event, I suppose. Hmm. And maybe it's more of just a group activity, but really we've been seeing people take on an interest and then several people have joined them. So I guess I kind of, yeah, define event loosely in that way. Yeah, there's a lot of really cool things coming. Emily's got some interesting projects she's working on. Of course, Emily has led Putty Comps, which are a wide variety of creative projects. She picks a topic, or the group picks a topic, and it's been like mixtapes and comics and different things around being a multi-potentialite. And then at the end, there's just a fun little compilation of pieces, depending on what it is, mm-hmm. that people put together and then walk away with. So there's all kinds of cool things that have been going on this year. Lots of creativity. I'm sure I forgot some, and I apologize to any of those who are listening and I have not mentioned your special event.
Well, the emphasis seems to have been on like real creativity, kind of starting things from scratch and pulling it out of thin air type of thing. Has it been more this year, do you think, than in past years, that emphasis on creativity?
I don't know if it's more, but I know since I've been here, which has been a year and a half, as the events Jedi, that we've really just been looking at events and trying to figure out what people are most interested in putting energy in those places. So we started out with workshops, and workshops are fun, but we really want them to be extremely interactive. Sometimes that's hard in this, you know, in the format of like the online format. It can be done, but it takes a little bit more work. So we're really supporting people who want to put together interactive workshops, but there's been a few less of those. And then just sort of these informal types of special events have been coming up. We've just been rolling with it. So ask the people how we can support them if they need support. A lot of people we just promote the events, put them in certain places on the page, and send out a couple more emails and links. And it's really that easy. And most people are just, they just go with it.
Yeah. What's the engagement been like on average with some of these ideas and projects?
Well, some of them are capped. And then others, that's a good question. When I've spoken to the leaders, they just said that it's good engagement, that they're pleased with the engagement. I don't know exact numbers, but that's a good question that I would like to follow up with folks about.
So you have you felt the need then to initiate things yourself, or maybe you and Joel or anyone else? But it sounds like most of it has been member driven.
I mean, we like to put on events all the time, but we have a, they're fun for us.
Yeah.
And then we get to be there for a concentrated amount of time and introduce ourselves as support staff to everybody in the community. But there just hasn't been as much of a need.
The other thing I've noticed, without again looking at the numbers, but there's been a lot of new members, a lot of new people join this year. It seems the doors are often opening, which is great. Has that made a difference to maybe the community atmosphere or how things are evolving?
Yeah, I think new blood is always good. It incites new ideas, and new synergy is created within groups. I mean, I think I can't speak to, you know, years and years past, but new blood definitely helps. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So for a lot of people, this will be their first Puttython coming up this weekend. I introduced it a bit at the start of the episode, and people get the gist of it if they aren't familiar already. Is there anything different about this particular one, or is it the same basic format?
This one is the same basic format. So it's really just encouraging people to be the multi-potentialite they want to be. Some people have already mentioned going to the beach and just spending a day relaxing.
Floats your boat.
Right, and feeling an immense amount of joy. And for others, it's it'll be putting together a project, or writing a blog, or their autobiographical story about what's happening in their very interesting lives, or a fictional life, who knows. And it's really just around exploring who you are as a multi-potentialite, I think, especially for new folks. Maybe they haven't really stepped into that. So taking some time just to think about that, what that is, or feel what that is, or just go with the flow and set up 24 hours to say, I love all these different things. I might just try them out today.
That's a chance. It's that safe space in a way to allow yourself to explore things, right? If that's what you want to do.
Yeah. That's what you want to do. I do think it's a celebration. I think it's time for adventure. And I know that one of our longtime members, Alethea, was talking about how she wants to play this weekend. So I'll be curious to see. I know she's a really hard worker, as are all of our community members, you know. So that seems to be sort of a theme of some of the members, that they want to relax. They want to do more spontaneous things as opposed to structure. So I think we can all get, we all get stuck or put in a box in our lives.
Sure.
We can, not all of us all the time or most of the time, who knows. But especially during the Puttython, it's the time to take that box away. If you want, or again, put the box in place, because your life needs a bit more structure. Again, it's up to the user, to the member.
Sure. Did you have a theme last time? Is it just that it's the Puttython and that's it? Or was there any kind of theme to it? I forget.
The very first one I added some mindfulness. And then the past two, Rita is a coach, and she'll be also joining for this Puttython as well. And she offers up some meditations in there if she feels called to do that, which I think is for some people the first time that they've experienced sort of a mindfulness meditation. So
how does that work? Is it in the group setting, kind of on Zoom, or is it a individual?
Mm-hmm. So last year, I'm sorry, not last year, in March, last Puttython. Mm-hmm. In the first huddle, she did a meditation and then we recorded it so people could play it later. We'll do the same this time. Mm-hmm. And she really goes kind of based on what kind of vibe she gets from the group or what's needed. And so it'll really be organic, but she's available. She'll be in the co-working room. We'll both be interacting with people on the forums and in the co-working space. That was something that was really exciting about the last Puttython. And I remember talking to you about that, is that the co-working space was used quite a bit.
Yeah.
And we'll see if that is the case this time around as well. Mm-hmm. I did come up with some fun ideas for upcoming Puttythons. I won't share those yet because they're still in development, but I just came up with them this week. So I felt like I need a little bit more time because it includes a few more people. Okay. So, yeah.
That's another thing. Do you still want to do this twice a year, basically, or more a little more often?
We'll see. They're always fun to put together. So I think we just want to make sure that they feel special and then people, you know, they see them as a special event versus just something that happens regularly. Although, yeah. If people feel like they're just as special and they happen regularly, please let us know because we're open.
Sure. Or maybe you could branch off and have like something that's a little more regular. It wouldn't be as special as a Puttython, mm-hmm. entitled as such, but I don't know. It's something else that's like that weekend or that period of focus and you have the co-working mm-hmm. space and stuff that goes with it. So. Mm-hmm. You know, because I would feel that, like, it's, you know, after 6 months goes by, it's like you kind of, it's part of the charm, you kind of forget about what it was like, right? And mm-hmm. so it's discovering it again. At the same time, it is a time to be productive and to get something done and to feel encouraged and supported in doing so. And it's nice to do that more than every 6 months. Now, of course, anyone can do that on their own, but that's the whole point, is doing it as a community.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And also, I mean, practicing and during an intensive time regularly.
Yeah,
Probably helps the brain too. Neural network in a special way. I don't know.
Yeah, it's all part of the fun.
It is all part of the fun.
Well, before I let you go, give us the logistics. So what time does it start?
So it starts 10 a.m. Pacific time. Let me look this up just to make sure. There's also a time change in Europe. So... Oh. Everybody in Europe, make sure that you note that it's right after the very first huddle. So 10 a.m., which is 1900 CEST time, Central Standard Time. And then we'll have, that's the intro huddle. And then there will be a total of four huddles. So 10 a.m. Pacific time and 6 p.m. Pacific time, which is the second huddle, is the one where the time change happens. So that will be 2 o'clock Central Eastern time as opposed to standard time. And then it's 2 a.m. So it's every, essentially, I think we have every 8 hours. Yeah. And then the final show and tell is at 9 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time.
Right. So that'd be 12 noon Eastern North America. And
mm-hmm. yep.
At that point, we are how many hours to Europe?
So then it'll be 1700, so okay. 5 o'clock over Central Eastern Time. Yep. So all of the information is currently up online. I will be posting an updates thread soon, and then people can post their updates there. Everybody can look at what people are doing. Some people may put together their own threads, and then they'll link to that. There's lots of, it happens so many different ways. Then also the link to the Zoom room, and if you need to figure out the time zone conversion, all of that good stuff, it is all linked in the event.
Oh, that's good. So you'll have the Zoom room open. That's your co-working space if people want to just leave it on. And does that serve also the same for the check-ins, or is that a different room?
Well, we're still trying to figure that out because we want to make sure to record the meditation so that people have them later. So we're still figuring that out.
Okay.
But as it stands, the co-working room will be open absolutely the whole time, and we'll let people know if for some reason the huddle room is different.
Right. Great. Yeah. Well, as you can tell, the best thing is to follow the details on the forum and the website, and we hope to see lots of people there.
Yes, we have over 25 people signed up.
Okay.
So that's exciting. And often most of those people come. And if people want to just drop in, feel free to drop in. Don't be scared. If you have questions, just feel free to message me or, again, drop into the co-working space. Feel it out. You can just not put on your video if you want. You can do whatever feels most comfortable just to drop in, because we'd love to have you.
Yep, it's a great time, and you really do feel encouraged to get stuff done, even if you have just a small window in those 24 hours, because, of course, this podcast, the gestation was in the...
That's right.
A year ago in October there. We launched it in the end. It took a few weeks to get it all together, but it's really started. I remember starting the planning that weekend as my wife and I were having a baby. But
yeah, as you were having a baby. That was the very first event of our buddy fun.
Yeah.
Which is always really special. That's
and now
really
he's now Hugo's a year old, and he's just about starting to take his first steps.
That's so exciting. During the putty thon.
Yeah, exactly, we'll see that. He's got his putty thon set up.
That's so exciting. Well, it's been great to chat. Thank
you
so much for always covering this event. It's really something that's special, I think.
Yeah, it's fun.
Thanks a lot, Ted.
Thanks to you, Erica. So that's our show for this week. A big weekend here to look forward to. As always, one of the biggest events that we have in our year. It's our twice annual Puttython. And last I checked here, as of Friday morning, the day before, there's 28 people who have signed up to participate. And we could certainly always grab more at the last minute. It's pretty much never too late, even if you sign up or join in after the event started. Basically, you have those 24-hour period to do so. And I'll just give a reminder of the timing again for how all of this works. So it's going to kick off on Saturday, October 27th, starting at 10 a.m. Pacific time in North America. That's 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, North America. 7 o'clock p.m. in Central European summer time, so an hour behind if you're in the U.K. And that's the kickoff. So again, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. in the afternoon Eastern time, 7 o'clock p.m. Central European time. That is the kickoff huddle. Now, 8 hours later is the first check-in huddle, so that makes it 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Saturday Eastern time, and then we get into 2 o'clock in the morning European time, and that is after the time change. So hopefully that won't really impact too many people, of course, unless you're up in the middle of the night, which is when some of us get a lot of our work done. But if you are up in the morning, it's 2 a.m. Central European time, which is the first check-in huddle. What might make more sense for you is the second check-in huddle. Now, that doesn't do much for us here in North America because it's 2 a.m. Pacific time and, of course, 5 a.m. Eastern time. But 10 o'clock a.m. Sunday morning, October 28th, if you're in Europe. So that is the second check-in huddle. And then it all wraps up at a nice, friendly time for everybody on Sunday, October 28th, 9 o'clock a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern Time, North America, 5 p.m. Central European Time. That's what they call the show-and-tell huddle, where you can basically talk about everything that you've gotten done over the previous 24 hours. So those are the kind of four big events, like where you can actually join in, and it's very, you know, focused at a specific time. But otherwise, there is the co-working space, the Zoom room, which will be open 24 hours. That's kind of the other fun thing, where you can just drop in, come and go, leave the screen open in the background if you like, and see who's doing what. You can get the link for it, of course, on the forum in the post for the Puttython, and that'll get you all logged in. So that's how it works. It's a fun 24 hours. So we will do our best here on the Multipod to check in as well, maybe chat with a couple people, and see how further we can document the event. But at the very least, you'll see us in another couple weeks here as we keep going with our regular bi-weekly schedule of the Multipod. We've got some more ideas and topics that we're developing, and as always, we're open to suggestions. Remember, we do have our own dedicated email address. It is themultipodcast@gmail.com. You can leave any of us, myself, Sarah, Sandrine, Vanessa, any of us can leave a message on the forum, of course, or private direct message if you have any ideas for topics. And as always, if you'd like to come on the show, So let us know, and we will talk to you again in just a couple weeks.